Chapter 1
Come again.
Cyrus stared at me with enormous dark brown eyes. I furrowed my eyebrows and looked at my girlfriend in confusion. The curly-haired summoner was studying me as if I'd just suggested we jump headfirst into an active volcano, and I didn't quite understand why. Cyra and I had been on patrol outside of Arlay Enclave when the Arcan Karth had shown up with one of her monsters, an enormous three-headed dragon called a Quartzreal. It had been a tough one to beat, especially when it multiplied into three separate creatures. But with the help of the Arcans, Cyra and I defeated the monster. At the end of the fight, I'd attempted to offer my hand to Karth, but the Horned Arcan hadn't been interested in joining my side and abandoning her alliance with the remaining Arcans. In fact, before the green-skinned goddess opened a portal and retreated back into the Shadowscape, she looked even more pissed than I'd ever seen her before. With only three Arcans left to capture, we were so close to ending this struggle between the human realm and the Shadowscape. Karth, Keela, and Huna were the only ones still against us, and if I could capture Karth within my consciousness, their alliance would crumble. Karth was definitely weakened from that battle, and there's no way we're going to get an opportunity like this again, I explained as I brushed some stray monster remains dust off my shoulder. I think we should go after her, right now, before she and the Alliance have time to plan another surprise monster attack.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm not sure that's a great idea,
Cyra replied.
At least not right now. We aren't even remotely ready.
Cyra, we just took down Karth and her Quartzreal, I reminded her. We're totally badass.
Oh, I'm aware.
The dark-skinned summoner chuckled.
We definitely kicked some serious monster ass and knocked Karth down a peg or two. But the Shadowscape is unpredictable. I agree going after Karth is a good idea. We can't let her continue to run rampant and take over Mistral. If that's even her plan in the first place. But Griff, we have no idea where she went and no way of finding out.
She probably retreated back to her castle, I interjected. That place is heavily gated and surrounded by her mega monster herd. So I don't see why she would go anywhere else.
That's fair enough, my curly-haired lover allowed. But we can't rule out that she would go somewhere else just to throw us off her trail. You've been to her castle before, so she would probably guess you would check there first.
I suppose that's true, I admitted after a moment, and I let out an irritated sigh. Not toward Cyra, of course, but at this situation. After years of fighting against the Arcans and defending the Varley Enclave from their attacks, I was ready to put this feud to rest and finally go back to living a regular life. Or at least as regular as a summoner with ancient monster goddesses captured inside his mind could be.
I think we should wait until the others get here,
Cyra recommended as she peered up at the clear blue sky.
This is a decision we need to make as a team.
If it weren't for the colorful monster dust from the defeated Quartzreal that surrounded the area, and the group of monster goddesses who awaited my orders, it would have been hard to tell that anything had occurred. It was a calm early autumn day with a soft breeze. The bright sunlight seemed to grow brighter, too, as if it were also celebrating our victory against Karth. If they get here, I remarked. I'm not sure where Sarah's gotten off to. While we were in the midst of battle, I'd tasked the Black-Winged Arcan to retrieve my friend, Brayden Flint, Headmaster Sleet, and Galahar Kennefic, but the angelic goddess had yet to return. My trust in Sarah wavered depending on the day and the situation, but when it came to direct orders, she'd yet to let me down, so I had to remain hopeful that she'd come back to us soon. In the meantime, I glanced around the Emerald Plains and stared out at the rest of my Arcans. Xanrith, Miralee, Utuni, and Viopa all walked toward Cyra and I, while Fi lingered out in the field, still in her giant form.
Come on, Fi! Playtime is over!
Viopa called out to the enormous white-winged Arcan as she stomped around in the grass. Fi rolled her eyes and hung her head back, which made her dense white hair trail down to her waist.
Ugh, you guys never let me have any fun.
The huge goddess whined in a childish tone, though her current size made the sound resonate throughout the field. After a booming groan, the Arkin kicked off the ground, pumped her white feathered wings in the air, and as she flew upward, she shrank down to her normal size and then flew over to join the rest of the Arkins. Once she landed, she crossed her arms against her chest. Fi didn't like to be told what to do, especially by the other Arkins.
What is the plan now, master?
Miralee purred, and the jaguar goddess's orange eyes were flirtatious as she grinned at me with a fanged smile.
Shall we go rip Karth limb from limb? I would certainly love to tear her apart even further,
Utuni added in, and her snake tail shook behind her in excitement.
She deserves to suffer for her crimes against you, master.
Agreed,
Miralee declared, and she and the snake Arkin shared cruel smiles that dripped with bloodlust. While I appreciated their enthusiasm, I didn't quite share their desire for pure violence.
Is that wise?
Xanrith spoke up.
Not that I don't agree. Karth needs to be dealt with, of course. I'm just uncertain about the idea of launching straight back into the Shadowscape. Keela and Huna were absent from this battle. What if it's all a trap?
So you think she could have attacked us here in the hopes we would come after her in the Shadowscape, only to have a herd waiting for us once we got there? I continued. Am I following correctly?
Yes.
Xanrith nodded, and the violet-eyed Arkin tucked an errant tendril of black curly hair behind her ear. Xan was easily one of the most beautiful women I'd ever seen in my life, and my heart nearly skipped a beat as she smiled at me and showed off her pearly white teeth. The goddess was nearly as tall as me, and most of her body was long, lean legs. Her skin was a pretty umber shade with tiny white freckles that resembled stars in the night sky, and her amethyst eyes were rimmed with thick, dark eyelashes. However, the Arkin's most notable feature was the pair of azure flaming wings that hissed and crackled behind her like a sphinx. They were both dangerous and alluring, and they gave the gorgeous goddess an ethereal glow. She was the newest addition to my group of Arkins, and the closest ally I had amongst them. The gorgeous umber-skinned goddess had been a huge help during the battle against Karth, and she'd been the only one of the goddesses who'd willingly volunteered herself to fight for my team. She'd abandoned Karth's alliance to join me, and while there was still a lot to know about the ancient Arkin, I mostly trusted her judgment. That's always a possibility, I said as I mulled the idea over. It does seem strange the others weren't here with her when they'd supposedly aligned.
I think a point worth thinking about is the fact our alignments and alliances are fragile at best,
Viopa countered. The succubus goddess crossed her arms against her ample chest, and I tried not to stare as her breasts heaved with the motion.
How many times throughout our existences have we betrayed the others?
Also a fair point,
Fi agreed with her.
We've all sold each other out more times than I can count.
All eyes flew to the angelic Arkin as she said this, and Fi's pale cheeks grew red. Miralee snickered to herself, and Fi clenched her fists at her sides. I shot the jaguar goddess a warning look, and Miralee immediately stopped laughing. After a similar look at Fi, the white-winged Arkin relaxed her hands and took a deep breath. Hopefully they weren't here because they defected, I said in an effort to bring the conversation back. That would honestly be the best-case scenario here.
It's a plausible theory,
Xan agreed.
But let's not assume that quite yet. I think your Syra has the right idea. Waiting for your headmaster would be wise.
Syra grinned at the dark-skinned Arkin at the mention of her name, and Xan shot the summoner a saucy wink. It was strange to see a human and an Arkin getting along, but I wasn't about to complain.
Sleet will have a solution,
Syra spoke up,
Or at least a suggestion.
Then let's hope Sarah gets back soon, I said.
What do we do until then?
Fi wondered.
I'm bored.
I could always put you back inside my head if this is too dull for you, I suggested. And the Arkin shook her head so intensely, her white hair whipped around her.
Never mind,
she blurted out.
Everything here is great. Except for all of this icky dust.
Mira Lee grimaced as she flicked some stray quartz reel remains from her silky jaguar tail.
It's disgusting.
Suddenly, a realization struck me. Hey, Xanrath, I'm going to need you to use some of your magic, I addressed the flame-winged Arkin.
Wait, are you hurt?
Syra gasped, and her thick, dark eyebrows knitted together as she scanned my body for injuries.
Why didn't you say something sooner?
Oh, I'm not hurt, I assured her. I just had an idea that may help us out later.
So, how can I help, Griff?
Zan inquired with a raise of her elegantly arched eyebrows. Well, I was looking around at the field, and I thought it was kind of a shame to let such a rare creature go to waste, I began, and my lips curled up into a smile.
Holy shit! Are you about to do what I think you're going to do?
Syra asked as she followed my gaze out to the field, and her voice was both awestruck and concerned at the same time. Hopefully. I winked at the chocolate-skinned summoner.
I think I understand.
The Arkin smiled back at me.
Are you certain you'd like this one? The quartz reel can be quite temperamental.
I can handle it, I assured her.
I know you can.
Zan laughed.
All right, then. One crystal dragon coming right up.
The Arkin turned around to face the field and raised her hands above her head. Her azure wings crackled and spat behind her, and the bright blue hue became more vivid as they hissed. Similarly, colored magic glowed from her fingertips, and I noticed a distinct sparkling on the grass. Then a light breeze blew through the air and lifted the quartz reel's dust until it swirled above us like a rainbow tornado.
Get your crystal ready,
Zan called out over her shoulder, and her violet eyes were ablaze. The seriousness in her tone was enough to make me immediately retrieve an empty essence crystal out from my bandolier. An adrenaline surged through me as I watched the rainbow tornado begin to form the familiar outline of the three-headed dragon. My fingers twitched around the essence crystal. I had some powerful summons in my cache, but this particular monster was easily one of the most interesting, and I could only imagine how useful it would be in the future. I didn't know much about it in terms of its powers and attacks, but I did know that when it came to brute strength, the creature would be a great addition to my team. Finally, with a final shimmer, the dust cleared, and the quartz reel was restored to its original form. The sunlight above us refracted off the crystalline surface of its skin and bathed the field with vivid colors.
Holy shit!
Syra murmured with wide, dark eyes.
This is unreal.
You can say that again, I agreed. The quartz reel's three heads all bobbed around in different directions, as if it were confused by its surroundings. And once Zan lowered her arms, she turned around to face me.
It's still unsure of how it got here, so I would advise you to capture it as quickly as possible.
The goddess cleared her throat. Right. I nodded, and I reached into my bandolier and retrieved the pale blue crystal of my Vinghund. Then I smashed it to the ground, and in a hiss of blue-black smoke, my canine-like winged summons appeared. The Vinghund's ears perked up as she glanced at the quartz reel, and she flopped her head to the side and let out a bark. Yep, we gotta go get him, girl. I nodded at my monster, and the Vinghund lowered herself slightly so I could climb on. My pale blue creature let out a determined yip, and as she did, she flapped her large wings and lifted off into the air.
Do you want me to come with you?
Syra called up to me, and her dark chocolate eyes gave the enormous dragon monster a sideward glance.
Just in case things get rowdy!
Her familiar, a gray and pink dragon named Kalon, let out an encouraging growl. When we'd fought against Karth, the monster had grown large enough for Syra to properly ride. But now, she was back in her tiny form on the dark-skinned summoner's shoulder.
I think I have it under control,
I replied as the Vinghun hovered in place.
If that changes, I'll yell out. Keep Kaelon at the ready.
Will do,
Syra nodded. And then Kaelon hopped down onto the ground and resumed her larger form, as if she had a feeling she'd be needed. I smirked at the monster's determination.
Would you be at ease if I went with him?
Xanrath asked Syra as she appeared behind me in the air, and her azure wings crackled behind her.
Yes, actually.
The summoner nodded at the Arkan.
That way, if something happens...
I'll be fine.
I waved the notion off.
I'm quite ancient, Griff.
Xan smiled at me with pearl-white teeth.
And as such, I've done this a time or two. I'm here to make sure you don't get injured.
That's very sweet of you, but I think I've got it, I assured the Arkan.
Regardless, I'll be right here,
the umber-skinned goddess replied. And without another word, she, the Vinghund, and I ascended. Lucky for us, the quartz reel still seemed to be getting its bearings. And I could only imagine how odd it must feel to die and disintegrate, only to suddenly wake up alive again. I determined the best place to slam the essence crystal was a spot where the heads couldn't easily snap out at me, right on the center of its back. I couldn't risk those fangs sinking into my flesh, regardless of the resurrection magic Xan possessed. So I gave the command to the Vinghund to fly down and land on the three-headed dragon's back. And my summons let out a bark of confirmation as she swooped down. Unluckily for us, the quartz reel seemed to be back to full mental capacity now, and the creature lunged one of its snarling heads in our direction. I was able to think quickly, so the Vinghun spun away from the enormous creature's crystal fangs, but it was definitely a close call. The Vinghun fluttered in place as I considered my next move. But then the quartz reel cocked its back half and swung its impressively large tail right toward us.
Duck!
I shouted at my summons, and the Vinghund sped out of the way before the three-headed dragon's tail could make contact. For such an immense monster, the quartz reel was surprisingly fast. I needed to be faster. As the Vinghund dodged another blow, I carefully reached into my bandolier and retrieved the crystal for my speed slug. I crushed the crystal in my hand, and moments later, my slimy summons appeared. Then I placed the creature on the Vinghund, who let out an irritated chirp as the gooey monster touched her back, and the moment she was equipped with the slug, I commanded her to fly back down. If I could get there fast enough to slam the crystal into the quartz reel, I could lock this monster away and avoid setting a resurrected dragon onto the Enclave. The Vinghun soared at an accelerated rate, and she was so fast, the quartz reel couldn't keep up. My heart thudded inside my chest at the sudden adrenaline rush, and I could practically feel it beat inside my ears as we neared the monster's back. Finally, we landed just above it, and without a second thought, I leapt from the Vinghun and fell right onto the quartz reel. My body cried out in pain as it made impact with the crystalline surface, but I was so amped up, it didn't matter. I would have Xan patch me up in a moment. For now, I had a quartz reel to capture. As the dragon bucked around and tried to shake me off, I concentrated on infusing the essence crystal with my mana. And once I was sure it contained a good enough amount, I slammed the crystal as hard as I could into the monster. The effort of the motion was so strong, my arm muscles practically screamed out. But it was effective, and the crystal was embedded into the surface. I concentrated on capturing the monster within my crystal, and though it fought against me for a moment more, the quartz reel gave in and was soon absorbed. Once the monster disappeared beneath me, I began to fall in midair, and I let out a surprised shout before my Vinghund flew by and caught me. The air escaped my lungs as I slammed down chest first. But knocking into my canine monster was favorable to the ground, hundreds of feet below. I clutched the quartz reel crystal in my hand, and once I sat up and swung my leg over, I wrapped my free arm around the Vinghund and commanded her to take us down. I'd done it. I'd captured the quartz reel.
Griff, are you okay?
Syra demanded the moment we touched the ground.
That fall didn't look pleasant.
It definitely wasn't, I agreed with a chuckle, and the simple laugh made my chest ache.
Let me help,
Xanrith sighed, and the Arkan took my hands.
Look into my eyes and concentrate on your breathing, just as we did with the Maripor.
While I would have preferred to stick it out, I had a goddess with healing abilities at my disposal, so it was useless to pretend I wasn't in pain. Zan's violet eyes were soothing as I stared into them, and as their hue grew more vivid, I felt the aches and pains from my body begin to fade away. Within a few moments, they were gone completely, and Zan broke her hypnotic gaze.
Better?
She asked. Yes, I nodded as I stretched out my arms. Thank you. Now that the pain was gone, I shifted my focus to the crystal in my hands and was surprised to see the strange shape of it. Each essence crystal changed when a monster was captured inside of it, so I had a wide array of different gems, but this one was particularly pretty. The crystal was clear, but multifaceted, and resembled the head shape of the quartz reel. It also glittered brilliantly in the light as if it were a diamond.
That's so pretty, Syra breathed as she stepped over. And though I want to kick your butt for doing something so risky, it's fucking awesome you were able to capture that monster.
So, I'm forgiven? I winked at the summoner as I stashed the crystal away into my bandolier.
I suppose.
Syra rolled her dark brown eyes, but her smile was playful.
You're on thin ice, though.
I'll tread carefully, I joked. Suddenly, her eyes flashed upward, and she pointed ahead.
Hey, we have company.
Griff!
A deep voice called out, and I looked up to see a familiar face atop a winged monster. It belonged to my former roommate, Braden Flint, and the ox-like summoner's dark gray eyes were round as he flew by on his King Griffin and took in the sight of the Arkans surrounding me.
Braden! I replied with a grin. Finally!
He landed his King Griffin on the ground beside the Vinghund. My friend's summon was an impressive monster that was half lion, half eagle, and it was large enough to hold multiple passengers on its back. Along with Braden sat two others I hadn't originally spotted behind his massive frame. One was Headmaster Sleet, and the other was my father-in-law, Galahar Kinefic, Nia's father and the Grand Mage of Mistral.
Sarah's returned as well,
Viopa noted as her silver eyes stared off into the distance.
I'm actually somewhat surprised.
The dark-winged Arkan was right behind our friends, and her cat-like bright yellow eyes flashed arrogantly as she landed her snapdarner next to the King Griffin. Her dragonfly monster beat its iridescent wings softly and let out a coo as Sarah dismounted. Sarah stroked the creature affectionately, and then she walked over to assist Galahar and Headmaster Sleet off Braden's griffin.
I think we can manage,
Galahar addressed the Arkan curtly. Galahar and Sleet didn't trust the Arkans, so I wasn't surprised they didn't want to take her hand.
Suit yourself,
Sarah shrugged, and the goddess tossed her mane of black hair behind her shoulder. Galahar dismounted the King Griffin first, followed by Sleet. And once their feet were on the ground, they rushed over to Syra and me, with Braden right behind them.
We shall leave so your human friends will be more at ease,
Xanrith decided as they approached.
While they've met me before, all of us at once may be a bit overwhelming.
Thank you, I said to the flame-winged Arkan. I'm sure they'd appreciate it.
Of course, master.
The dark-skinned goddess winked at me, and once the words left her lips, she dissolved into azure mist, and I felt my ribcage tingle as her tattoo returned to my body. One by one, the rest of the Arkans followed suit, and my entire body vibrated as their tattoos decorated my skin. Once they were all back in the corners of my consciousness, I turned to face my friends.
Griff, Are you all right?
Galahar Kinefic asked, and the Grand Mage's piercing blue eyes were huge with concern as he addressed me.
Where did your Arkans go?
I'm fine, sir, I assured him, but the Elementalist didn't seem too convinced, and I sent the Arkans back into my mind.
Enough of this, sir, business.
Galahar scrunched up his nose.
We're beyond that point, son.
Without another word, my father-in-law approached me and swept me up into a hug. I hugged him back, and he ended the embrace with a light pat on my back. Fair enough, I grinned at him.
I'm glad to see you and Miss Syra are all right, the headmaster said. When your Arkan came to us, we feared the worst.
It didn't help that she was rather vague about the affair,
Galahar added with a huff.
She would only tell us you were in danger, and it had to do with Karth.
Yeah, sorry. I should have been clearer when I gave instructions to her, I said, and I fought back a sigh.
It's good to see you, Grief,
Brayden said, and then the ox-like summoner broke out into a huge grin.
Despite the circumstances, that is. I'm sorry I wasn't here sooner, but it looks like you and Syra had things under control.
We managed all right, I laughed. But I appreciate it, my friend. It's good to see you as well.
So what happened here, precisely?
Sleet wondered as he studied the field.
We heard quite a commotion in the Enclave, but by the time we realized it was one of Karth's monsters, Syra showed up on her Snapdarna.
Brayden looked out onto the field and shook his head as he took in the sight.
When we first breached the gates, we saw a huge dragon-looking creature. It was one of the biggest monsters I've ever seen.
The other Arkans informed me it's called a Quartzreel, I informed him, and Brayden frowned as he searched his memory for it. It's apparently rare and one of the last of its kind.
Well, we saw you catch it from all the way up in the sky,
Brayden remarked.
So, where's Karth? Is she still around?
It's a long explanation, I answered the ox-like summoner. But to answer the first question, Karth isn't here. She retreated into the shadowscape. As I caught them up to speed on the battle against the Horned Arkan, Sleet, Brayden, and Galahar all studied me with expressions that hovered between concern and contemplation. And my stomach was in knots as I waited for one of the mages to say something.
Ugh, are they always so articulate?
Fi snorted inside my mind, and I further braced her wards to keep her from saying anything else. Finally, Headmaster Sleek cleared his throat.
So you wish to strike now? He clarified in an even tone. Am I following you correctly, Mr. Griff?
Yes, sir, I nodded. I'm worried that if we let too much time pass, her next attack against us will be more intense and spell more disaster.
Striking while she is weak isn't a bad strategy,
Galahar admitted, and the Elementalist ran a hand through his silver-streaked dark hair.
I must express concerns over the plan, though.
Oh, I said softly. I wasn't expecting opposition from my superiors on this one. I figured they would be completely on board to go after Karth and her alliance.
It's not bad, Griff,
the Grand Mage reassured me.
I just want to make sure we analyze the situation before we leap in.
Was Karth alone? Sleet wondered. Or were the other two with her as well?
She was alone. I shook my head. I'm not sure what kept Huna and Keela away. The other Arkans are wondering if their alliance remains, or if it has splintered off.
That's a perplexing question indeed,
Sleet remarked, and he thoughtfully stroked his closely trimmed beard.
If they are aligned, I wonder why they didn't all come,
Galahar noted.
Unless this was just a mission to retrieve the book.
That's what Karth claimed, I said as I thought about this point. She wanted Xanrath and I to join her and the others, as well as to hand over the book. But obviously we refused both.
So Kristen was correct,
Sleet pointed out with a thoughtful expression on his serious face.
At least we know that part of her information was helpful.
My heart raced as I thought of Kristen. For a long time, I'd known the mysterious woman as Jace, and she'd randomly shown up at various points in a black hood. Then, when Ashla and I had gone on a mission to a village called Dazian's Keep to retrieve Karth's book that Sarah had stolen from the Shadowscape, Jace had beaten us there and revealed her true identity as my father's twin sister. I'd yet to determine whether my aunt was a friend or foe, and after our last conversation, I wasn't quite ready to think about her yet. Kristen was a problem I would have to face eventually, but for now, we needed to focus on Karth. Sir, I don't mean to rush, but we've been here for a while, and I'm concerned Karth is getting further and further away, I prompted the headmaster. I thought I'd made the urgency clear in my explanation, but the two elder elementalists seemed reluctant to answer. Galahar and Sleet exchanged glances with each other as they considered the best course of action, and as the pair of renowned mages thought about it. Brayden stepped forward and cleared his throat.
I'll come with you,
the ox-like summoner volunteered, and he stuck his chest out slightly.
Into the Shadowscape. If you're going after Karth, you'll need backup. And in the time you were gone, my magic has only improved. I want to help you in any way I can, Griff.
You're a true friend, Brayden. I smiled at him. And I have no doubt you're an even more powerful summoner than you were before. If you want to join me, I won't oppose. I'd love to have you at my side.
Ugh, you guys are so cute,
Syra snorted.
Will you be coming too, Syra?
Brayden asked the dark-skinned summoner, and Syra eyed me warily.
I don't know, she admitted. I know I can handle it, but Milo...
If you don't want to come, I won't force you, I assured my lover. Our son takes priority. I'm sure Brayden and I can handle ourselves just fine.
If you're going to the Shadowscape to go after Karth, I'd prefer for you to take a larger team, Sleet advised. Something tells me the Arkans are going to use their home as a battle advantage.
I agree with the headmaster, Galahar declared with a strong jaw. I don't want you two to go in alone and get yourselves hurt, when there are plenty of other strong mages who can fortify your team. I'd suggest we leave here at once, get to the academy, and round up some suitable members. Mr. Prost and Mr. Voskarty, perhaps?
As well as Mr. Maddox, Sleet added. He has proven himself to be a strong mage, and it'd be good to have an elementalist on your side.
I would tell you to take my daughter as well, but seeing as how you just had twins,
Galahar trailed off. I won't ask her to leave them. I shook my head. If my women feel more comfortable with the children, I'd prefer them to stay.
Well, let's get back to the academy then. Sleet nodded at me. Start making plans so we do not lose this opportunity.
I agree, a larger team would be better. But unless the others are ready to go this second, I don't know if I can afford this time, I insisted. Suddenly, I heard a loud screech above us, and I looked up to see a large golden-brown hawk as it flew right toward us. The bird landed elegantly, and once its razor-like talons touched the ground, the avian began to transform until it took on the form of my gorgeous wife, Freya. The hawk princess shook out her wild mane of wavy blonde hair, and her golden-flecked brown eyes pierced right through me. Freya, what are you doing here? I wondered as the shapeshifter ran to me.
My husband, we have an emergency,
Freya declared urgently in her native tongue, and my heart plummeted inside my chest.
You must return home at once.
What kind of emergency? I asked, and it took all of my willpower to keep my brain from jumping to the worst possible scenario.
It is Aaron and Layla,
my wife replied, and she switched from clan language to Mistral so everyone could understand.
A short time after you and Sire left the house, they began to experience contractions.
Both of them? I interrupted, and my eyes nearly popped out of my head. At the same time? My girlfriends were both heavily pregnant with my children, but I thought they would experience childbirth on separate occasions, not together.
Yes,
Freya nodded.
It is quite unusual, according to Meriden. But she also thought they would bear your children just days apart. So it isn't entirely unrealistic.
Never a dull moment, is there?
Syra shook her head.
Holy shit, we have to get back to them as fast as we can. They're asking for you, my husband.
Freya continued as she grabbed my arm.
The babies will be arriving at any moment. Arvin, Ashla, and Meriden are with them now. But Aaron and Layla made it clear they didn't want you to miss the moment.
My head spun as I considered everything. On one hand, this was the perfect moment to go after the Arkan Alliance. But on the other hand, I had two women who were counting on me.
Mr. Griff, I believe you have a decision to make, Sleet declared in a serious tone. Either you return to the Shadowscape right now and hunt down Karth and the others, or you go home to witness the birth of your children. Either way, there isn't much time to lose.